I'm back. What's going on? This is Alex Pardo, and you're listening to episode 386 on the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Before we dive into today's masterclass expert interview, I want to let you know that this show is sponsored by Ascend, our in-house assembly of success-minded people, business owners, and entrepreneurs actively collaborating together to ascend our businesses to new heights while also experiencing truly happier, more fulfilling lives at the same time. We believe it's not an either-or, but you can truly have both and. It's the unique and rare combination of mastermind coaching and community that makes Ascend so special. But it's definitely not for everyone. If you're an entrepreneur who's looking for more than your typical mastermind or coaching, and you think these things can help you accelerate your ascension from where you are today to where you want to go, while living a more meaningful and rewarding life in the process, then you can head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, click the application button, and we'll go from there. What's going on? What's going on, guys? I'm tackling this one solo. I do not have somebody I'm going to be interviewing on the show today. I wanted to share with you some of the things that I alluded to on the last podcast about just some things that I think you guys, some tweaks that you can make in your business and some different things that you can do to see massive results. You know, oftentimes it's the small shifts, right? It's not, you know, you've heard the saying, small hinges swing big doors, or, you know, Tony Robbins has talked about, you know, in golf, how sometimes it's just a 2 millimeter shift. And that can be the difference between, you know, putting it on the green or just completely shanking it, right? Well, you guys know I alluded to this, but about 2-3 weeks ago, I got back from a mastermind retreat that I was a part of. And there was several things that I took away from it, but I just wanted to kind of, I was looking through my notes and I wanted to pick out just a few of them. These are little things that you guys can do in your business that, can have a direct and in some cases an indirect, impact on your bottom line. Right. And the first one is, so there's going to be a handful of things that I cover here, and this is not one of them, but, I just reference the bottom line. Make sure you're bottom line focused. You're not top line focused, right? Revenue is gross, profit is sanity. So if you haven't read the book Profit First by Mike Michalowicz, I read that book probably now 3 months ago or so, 4 months ago, and we've fully implemented the system. And it's been a complete game changer with making sure that, you know, we pay ourselves first, making sure that we profit first. We have different accounts for different things. You know, we have our income account, our operating expense account, owner's comp account, taxes, and our profit account. And so read that book. It walks you through the whole process. Make sure that you guys are not so focused on, we closed X amount of deals and we generated X amount of revenue. Who cares? What did you take home? What's the net income? What's the bottom line? That's what's most important. I know companies out there in our space, real estate investors, that are generating a couple million dollars a year in revenue and are generating, you know, a couple million dollars in revenue, and they're walking away with 150 grand in net income, you know, and are operating on a 5% profit margin. And that's something that we really started to look at. You know, our profit margin wasn't as healthy last year as what I would have thought it was. And so you got to keep an eye on the numbers. You got to keep an eye on your P&L, your profit and loss statement. Know your KPIs, monitor, don't just focus on revenue, focus on net income, track your expenses, see how you can become more efficient. There's so many inefficiencies in people's businesses, and you can maximize your profits by making some small shifts and some small tweaks to what you're already doing. And in many cases, it's not even spending more money on marketing. I'll give you a super, super quick example. We had one of the guys in our group, kind of an old school guy. He's been doing this a long, long time, right? And so he does very well, but he's old school, right? And so, yeah, he has a CRM, but like his lead manager was entering in leads manually. And we were sharing with him, hey, there's tools and resources and systems out there that can just, you know, this can happen automatically. You can easily connect CallRail to Podio. It happens automatically. And he was like, yeah, but it doesn't really take her that much time to do that. And we were all sharing with him, like, while that may be true, leverage technology. A, if it can happen automatically, why would you have somebody, you know, have to do it manually? B, you always have to account for the human error factor. What if she keys in a phone number the wrong way? Or what if, you know, she's on vacation? You know what I mean? Like, there's so many holes in that bucket. And we just started sharing with him all the different things he can do from a lead management and follow-up standpoint that are small tweaks where he can probably squeeze out an extra handful of deals minimum per year. And by the way, this is somebody who generates, you know, about 35 to 40 grand per deal. He can easily squeeze out, you know, an additional $200,000+ a year in revenue just by making some small tweaks. So look at your business, look at your processes, find out, identify the inefficiencies, and figure out, hey, how can I make a slight tweak or a small adjustment and make this more efficient? And in some cases, look, it's not a small tweak or a slight adjustment. In some cases, you got to do a massive overhaul. But what I would encourage you to do, if you get nothing else from this podcast, walk away with this. Look at where you can make just the smallest little tweak or improvement that it can really swing that big door, right? Where can you install a small hinge where you know it's going to have, you know, just a big effect on your bottom line, all right? So a couple of the things that I want to share with you on your website, my friends, the About Us or the Our Company page on your website is the second most visited page on any website. So people go to the homepage. In most cases, heat maps will prove that people are going to the About Us or the Our Company. So make sure that you have some fresh, unique content in there about, you know, videos or pictures of your team, your core values, your purpose, your mission statement, you know, your purpose, your cause, your passion. If you support any charities or what's important to you, why you started this business, make sure that, you know, most people these days get, you know, like a carrot website, or they get a website that's out of the box, which are great, but don't be lazy and just leave it like that and make it look like a ghost town and have a couple testimonials in there from Warren Buffett and Mark Cuban, right? Some just random testimonials or quotes that were pulled off from the web. Spend some time customizing that page. You know, we hired a videographer and we created a video that showed, you know, a couple of our team members meeting with a seller and walking them through the process. It has our core values on there. It talks about our purpose, why we do what we do. It has pictures with a short bio, you know, so make sure you customize our company. And let me tell you, in a competitive landscape where there's so many wholesalers and investors out there, and you know, these are the little things that can really differentiate you from your competition. So that's one thing I definitely want to share with you. Number two, we realized that there was another guy in there that, you know, his deal volume, his deal flow had gone down, and we started to kind of peel back the layers of the onion and really dissect what was going on. And there was a multitude of reasons, but one of the things we realized was that he wasn't being aggressive enough when he would make an offer to sellers. And, you know, we started asking him questions, and we got down to the fact that, you know, he was tracking the deals. And in most cases, when he would track the deal, which by the way is a separate tip, make sure that on properties, you know, when you go on a seller appointment or you make an offer, if you don't get it, number one, make sure you're religiously following up. Number two, track the deal and see if it closes in the future. In this particular case, he noticed that it was closing for more than what he was offering. And he started walking us through, you know, in his particular market, he was still sticking to like an old school Mayo formula. You know, Mayo is the maximum allowable offer. So it's the after repaired value, you know, times a certain percentage. It's usually 65 or 70%. You back out your repairs, you back out the profit, and that's your offer. Well, that's very old school. And that Mayo formula is going to vary from market to market. So one of the things I shared with him is like, we don't do a Mayo formula. Look at cash sales in the zip code. If you can really drill it down to the subdivision, look at what cash sales are going for. And then you want to be at or below, ideally, what those cash sales are. Those are your true, true comps. Don't just go off of a random Mayo formula. And one of the things he walked away with was just a slight tweak. He can offer more in most cases on these properties, and he still has a healthy profit margin. We talked about the inefficiencies in people's businesses and kind of doing an audit on that. One of the things we haven't been doing that we're going to do, my good friend Christina Krause from Postal Impact shared how, you know, in her testing, putting the website, putting your URL on your direct mail pieces is helping. So you might not get a call from the direct mail piece, but these people are now going to your website because there's more options, because sellers have more choices, and because everybody's reaching out to these sellers. Oftentimes these people are going to the website to do some additional research and vetting, and them going to your website, checking you out, which by the way is it's why it's so important to have your Our Company and your About Us page filled out. Them doing that can make the difference between them calling you or not calling you. So we're going to be testing that, putting a URL on our mail pieces for our website moving forward. In the past, my mentality has always been, I don't want to give them two options. I want to give them one option, pick up the phone and call. But you know, I'm going to test now putting a URL on our direct mail piece. One of the other ones I want to share with you is referrals. It was such a big topic of conversation, how people are just getting more and more deals from referrals. So there was one particular gentleman in our group who has been posting on Facebook, and he's just been saying, hey, you know, I'm going to be here having lunch. He does this twice a month. If you want to learn about real estate, if you want to learn how we can potentially do some deals together, if you just want to, like, you know, kind of pick my brain type of thing, I'm going to be here from this time to this time. He was usually there for about 90 minutes. And so he did that, and he had a couple people show up to the first one. And the second one, he had some more people. And the third one, he had some more people. He had, I want to say he had upwards of 25, 30 people. And it almost turned into like a mini meetup / mini RIA. And he would just have lunch. You know, people are now buying him lunch. And he was just talking shop because people were reaching out to him about the deals he was closing. And now he is getting more referrals and more leads and more opportunities, and he knows what to do with. And it's just by, you know, adding some value and putting it out there. You know, he wasn't selling anything. He's just, hey, if you wanna come talk shop, you wanna pick my brain, if you wanna learn how to do deals, how to market, you know, come. And that was really cool, you know, and I think in the last, I forgot, he's made quite a bit of money in the last, since our last retreat. So in the last 4 months, it was six figures in profits that he's brought in just from that one strategy. So, you know, that's something that you guys might consider doing. Let me see what else. And let me see, is there anything else? Oh, here's the last thing I want you guys to think about. You know, if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you're in real estate in some way, shape, or form. You're either a wholesaler, fix and flip investor. You are building a rental portfolio. You could be in the multifamily or commercial space. I've actually had some people reach out to me from the commercial world that also listen to the show for mindset and marketing and team building and some other things. But particularly, I want to speak to the wholesalers, my fix and flip investors. If your business is based on transactions, if you go from transaction to transaction, understand that this business it's challenging to systematize this business from A to Z. And the reason is because it's hard to get, to get a consistent output, you need a consistent input. And things change, right? The market changes, the tools and the resources. I'm not saying you can't create systems and processes. God knows you can, because I've done it. But they're constantly changing. And it's part of the reason you don't really see, you know, wholesalers or fix and flip companies that are publicly traded companies, as opposed to like some of the national home builders, right? Steve Cook shared a perfect example when he talked about this, how there's publicly traded national home builders. Why? Because you can systematize that business. You know, you can go to the lumber yard and you know exactly how much materials you need to build this kind of house, and you have a certain blueprint, and a consistent input will give you a consistent output. So with that said, understand that this business is a fantastic vehicle to generate lots and lots of cash, right? If you've plugged into the podcast, I've shared a lot of things that you can leverage and you can use to generate a lot of income in this business. Make sure you are taking that income and you're putting it into assets that spit off cash flow. Cash flow is the end game. right? This business can produce a lot of cash. Now you got to take that cash and convert it into cash flow. That could be through rentals. That could be through lending. That could be through, you know, multifamily syndications or investing in other people's deals. I know quite a people in my network now in Ascend. And in our, the mastermind that Steve and I run, you know, there's self-storage deals going around now. There's so many ways that you can now take your cash and put it into cash flow producing assets. Make sure you're doing that. That's a big mistake I made probably the first 8 to 10 years I was in business. And, you know, I don't regret anything, but if I could rewind the clock, I would be cherry picking. You know, we're already in the business of finding distressed properties. Every now and then cherry pick a deal, you know, that could make sense for a rental portfolio, or that you could joint venture with someone and you can generate some cash on it. You know, take some of the cash. And if you've built a relationship with someone, they know what they're doing, you know, and trust the operator, maybe even lend on the deal, right? Now you can start earning some interest income. So many different ways that you can acquire assets to generate cash flow, but that should be the end game. That's what's going to ultimately free you up, not hopping from transaction to transaction and just kind of being stuck on that wheel. It's a great business. Use it as a vehicle. Use it for what's intended for, to help people and to generate a lot of cash so that then you can then convert that into cash flow. So my friends, that's what I got for you today. Really, really, really appreciate you. We have our upcoming Ascend Mastermind Retreat here at the end of February, which I'm so, so excited about. If you have any interest in connecting with Steve and I about that, learning more, go to ascendyoursuccess.com. And other than that, look forward to connecting with you on the next one. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.